Welcome to the Agile Revolution podcast. Renee's here and...
Craig, how you doing?
So we're doing a bit of a wrap-up of Agile Australia.
Yeah, and we had to wait till we got back from Melbourne because for a couple of reasons. One, it's very clear that sometimes a $2 part can derail your entire effort. And in this case, it was what we think was a faulty SD card on some of our podcasts for making things go awry. I still maintain that, Renee, that you deleted the last podcast. But...
No, I did not. I did not. So we've got some sort of faulty SD card going on, and hopefully it is corrected now.
However, the other thing was is that whenever we try to do some interviews at Agile Australia, 850 people in a venue that's probably only designed for about 700, just made any corner that you tried to even escape into that was a quiet corner, ultimately got filled by people.
Yeah.
So lots of background noise. So we apologise. We didn't do as many interviews as we could because we physically just couldn't get people into an area. And the ones that we did, a little bit of background noise, but I think the ones that we did record, the content is still far away as the noise. But we're back in a little quiet hovel.
Yay, back in Brisbane.
And a bit of a wrap-up. So just as an overview, we'll go into the program in more detail, but what's your thoughts, Renee?
It was great to see 850 people there. It was certainly buzzing, and I think the atmosphere was just electric. I was even looking forward to it prior to going there, and I knew that I'd feel pumped as a result of talking to people, and it's still sort of... I have this warm little fuzzy glow as a result of it.
Awesome. I'm thinking about fuzzy glows, but anywho, I feel the same. I think this year my anticipation was probably more of butterflies of other things, but...
Because you were concerned about the content meeting people's needs, and
you
invested a lot of effort this year into making sure it was a good program for people.
And on the same token, it wasn't as much as it was a great program. It still wasn't everything that I would have hoped it to be. There was things that weren't talked about there, and we'll talk about some of those a little later. But ultimately, I do believe it was the best program that we could get for the, if we use the retrospective prime directive, for what we had and the people that we had, it was absolutely the best thing that we could get together. And I think this was the first year where I really felt it was the practitioners were taking back over.
I was going to say, the audience to me was really quite a different group than normal, and it seemed to be more project management, maybe targeted towards leaders and managers. A lot of the content was targeted that layer, and consequently there were different people than normal that were there. And I think that was a good thing, because that's a tough layer to get right.
Hmm. And for those listening outside Australia, I mean, the Agile Australia Conference, it's the one time, if you're in the US, there's an Agile Conference or a conference happening on every street corner every minute of the day. I mean, this is essentially the big conference. I mean, there's lots of meetup groups and, smaller run, open conferences and things that happen around the place. But from a vendor conference, this is kind of the big one. A couple of other entrants are kind of coming into the market now, coming into that kind of area. But as for the Agile Alliance sponsored one, we don't have Scrum gatherings here.
Yep.
We don't have currently there's no Lean, Lean Startup or Lean and Systems Thinking type conferences here either. So this is, I guess, the one.
This is the place to be right now.
It's a high level conference for us down in this part of the world. Even New Zealand. I mean, New Zealand dabbled in a Agile conference
recently, but
it was still a very small affair. They sort of started.
And I was really quite happy to see the New Zealand contingent come over this year. It was quite a vast contingent.
All your peeps.
All friends and buddies, yes.
And I'd like to say a big shout out to my buddy Douglas. It was also Renee's buddy Douglas. It's quite funny. We both know Douglas from different lives and different places and from Bank NZ. But a lot of the other guys, I met a lot of other guys that he works with and some of the other folks from around the traps as well. So it's really good. So I think overall, you can't complain. I mean, one of the things that you want to go to conference is that feel. But I guess one of the things that resonated with me was it was a conference that in the past it's been around the size of 400. It was up to 600 last year. That's kind of been the size of a track. It's 850 people. They had to shut off acceptances for their venues in this part of the world are fairly small, so it was at capacity. And one of the things that resonated with me a little bit, and this probably goes back to even we've been talking a lot about lean startups and and things in the past is that people, sure, you know, were commenting in the corridors like, oh, there's so many people here, and I think the first morning tea, you know, the food ran out, and if you didn't quite
get to that, I didn't get any food first morning tea.
Yeah, so things like that I don't even think the caterers were quite ready for the rush that came on. But ultimately, if it was a bad conference, that's the things that people would have been resonating about. But you know,
true.
But there wasn't a lot. In the end, it was kind of like, well, yeah, this is not really great, but there's really good content. And when content trumps it, it doesn't matter. And I think that's something that, you know, we have to even remember as, you know, when we're delivering projects, is that if you've got a good idea and you've got good content, if you've got a good team, and you know, it doesn't really matter the environment, it doesn't matter if the whiteboard isn't straight on the wall or whatever, if you've got, you know, good stuff, right, and good people, that trumps the environment every time.
Exactly.
So, so I guess the keynote.
Fiona Wood.
So for those who don't know her, just to set the scene, was Australian of the Year. She works. She's well known for her Burns unit in Western Australia. She's an Aldoa specialist. Had a lot to do in Bali in the early 2000s when the terrorist activity that happened in Bali to do with burns. So absolutely the furthest removed person you could get from software development agile.
And I had incredible trepidation going into that keynote. I thought, what have they done? What has Craig done with this conference? Because I don't want to listen to someone who's out there and, you know, it's got nothing to do with agile. It's really quite in fear of the depth of value I'd get out of it. But the reality was, I loved it.
She was really awesome.
It was spot on. Mm.
So the background behind that is an organising committee, and I probably have to give a shout out to Martin Kearns, because he's really the person on the advisory committee who'd been pushing this for a number of years. Was, you know, we have a lot to learn from other areas, and particularly
which I do agree. I do think as a community we are too insular in our thinking.
And so we're really looking for someone that could educate us on things like triage and those types of things, because, you know, when you're faced with an emergency situation, a lot of these practices that we try to come to the fore, but why don't we do those things all the time? So what can we learn from the way that health providers do that? And for the last couple of years, we've tried to get different people, and obviously they found Fiona Wood, and I was in the same boat. I was kind of like, okay, I realise we've got that medical angle here, and I know the stuff she does is cool, and you know, strength, but you know, I must admit I had trepidation that she was going to make the leap, but did she well make the leap and then some?
Yeah, I mean, it was exactly what a keynote needed to be. It was passionate and invigorating, and it really made you want to go, yes, I want to get out there and make some change.
So what was the key message that you got from her, so for those who
were there? So some key messages are around collaboration, around really knowing the problem that you're trying to deal with who the customer is.
So the story she gave and the thing I think that kind of inspired me a little bit was that no one walked up to her and said, I want you to become a burns specialist,
expert,
right?
Yeah.
She saw a problem. She was telling a story about how she was driving in her car and heard some stuff on the radio, and, you know, before the days of mobile phones, had to stop the car, find a phone booth, ring up this unit in the other side of the country and go, what are you doing there? And then decided that actually I can take this research that someone had done a step further, and actually got to the point where her boss came in and said, what are you doing? Right? You're not sharing the vision. Like, what are you doing? And you know, we've got other stuff to do.
So there was elements of teamwork there, and in making sure there's a shared strategy and a shared vision. There was quite a lot about innovation in there as well.
Yeah, she had the great story about how they, the whole thing was about spraying on skin, and how, you know, in order to prototype that, they're looking for low cost solutions and trying to find little bottles that would.
Was it mouthwash or
Italian mouthwash?
Mouth spray Italian mouth spray.
So, innovation from places, and I think sometimes you hear this, and all the way through, you're sitting there going, "Man, what I'm doing is kind of really irrelevant." When you kind of see the problems that they're trying to face, and what I really liked was she drew that back, is that she said, "You know what? Everybody's got their, you know, kind of what their job to do and their thing."
And she was really encouraging being passionate about the work that you're doing. It's not about resting on our laurels. It's not about settling for good. It's about making sure we're striving for greatness.
Yeah, and waking up every day and wanting to do that a little bit better.
And I think the biggest thing that a lot of people took out of that was around the positive nature. She was really quite strongly against people being constantly critical, and I think that resonated quite strongly with a lot of people, that as a community we're a little bit nitpicky with each other. You know, we could be accused of that even ourselves, Craig.
Get out of here. Really?
So, you know, she's saying, you know, don't talk about the negatives, just focus on the positives, because lots of people get more out of that.
Yeah, I think the thing that probably resonated more than that statement, although I took that away, was that focusing on the positives is more about we can do better. And I think sometimes, particularly as coaches, and not necessarily practitioners, is that we're always critical that we know in our heart of hearts that we can do better.
And we
sometimes,
do, yeah.
And sometimes true. As coaches, because we're striving to get people to do better, we are perceived as being negative. And
yeah, okay,
even when we talk as coaches to each other or reviewing stuff, we know each other, you know, push each other to do better. So we tend to, you know, lay on that side of negative, and sometimes we have to be a bit aware of that. What I really like the way she phrased it is that, you know, don't go and reinvent the wheel, right? You know, someone's already crossed the starting line, so start, you know, 100 meters up the track.
Yeah.
Right, reuse that stuff. And I think that's, as a community, is we have to remember that, you know, we've got great stuff out there. We've got the manifesto. We've got all the innovations that then come after that, in the last 11 years. So how can we continue to build on those and become better?
Hmm.
Next up?
I believe next up it was yourself, Nigel, David Joyce and Simon Bristow as a bit of a panel looking back at where we started from, the Agile journey and the practices that we have evolved over time. And it was quite a humorous take by yourself at the start of that panel.
Yeah, it gave a little bit of a history of Agile. What we were really trying to achieve out of that panel was we were trying to supplement, not knowing what Fiona was going to talk about, but trying to supplement essentially to get a bit of a message to say to the community that, you know, we are here, there's lots of good stuff, but as a community we, you know, just strive ourselves to go a bit further, and we
adapted, are evolving, yeah.
And we adapted around the four key parts of the conference. You know, motto was adapt, innovate, collaborate and deliver, and so we tried to look at why that was a motto and tried to, you know, give a bit of a message around that.
Okay, so I sort of lost that bit. I got the evolve over time bit, but I think the relationship to those elements probably was missed.
Yeah, fair point. A couple of things that I kind of, you know, just from sitting there was that Nigel Dalton had a really great story of an ice cream stand that he'd come across in...
Which he blogged about previously. Mm. Love that story. If you haven't read it, we'll probably link it in the show notes. It's a great one.
But, you know, essentially that, you know, there's this company, first removed from Agile that you could find, makes its own ice cream, has screaming four-year-olds in the summer San Francisco sun, and people stand and they wait for this ice cream, and there's no, you know, there's no barging because they've got this visual indicator of wall.
And you can see exactly where you are in the queue. Just as a side note, it's not about making, like, literally putting ice cream into a cone and then giving it over. It's real-time making that ice cream.
That's right. So it's freshly made as they go through it. So that was fairly good. David Joyce reminded us a lot about the cargo cult and veneer Agile, and had a lot to say about that. And he had some talks later on in the conference. And Simon was really keen to make sure that to remember that there is areas of our community that we still haven't done enough work with yet. Like leadership, still, you know, there's lots of good stuff happening in leadership, but we haven't quite melded that into the agile part. Things like UX is still evolving as a.
There's a lot of UX discussions at the conference too. Yeah.
Moving into the sessions, in sort of day one, what are some of the highlights that you had?
So I really loved Michael Bromley's presentation. He was talking about hiring for agility and what they've done in NBN.
Yeah, so NBN, for those who don't know, Australia's national broadband network. So essentially the government is sponsored to essentially roll fibre through the countryside. Still some debate about how far through the countryside that goes, but you know, a really big initiative and a really huge project that has agile aspects to it.
So it wasn't anything new for me, but it was a reaffirmation of a lot of the newer age HR techniques to apply when hiring for agility, rather than, you know, the old school thinking of how we hire and how we retain versus how we exit people.
I saw a good session from the guys at BNZ, Bank of New Zealand, talking about mainframe test automation.
Surely you can't do that.
exactly. But but yeah, they got it to work. Again, nothing new for me. It's the kind of stuff that I've been personally talking about for a couple of years there. Tool sets that I was, you know, extremely familiar with, tool sets like Concordian. But the big thing I think that resonated with me there and really highlights where the problem is that the big thing was the people. The people there were keen to make a change. And where I've struggled with mainframe adoption in the past before is that you've got to get, you know, you can run all sorts of different things on the mainframe. The mainframe is open. You can run, you know, new level languages. You can run
Pac-Man?
You can run Pac-Man.
Excellent. Yep.
I'm sure.
Frogger?
I'm not sure about Frogger. But you can run all sorts of like frameworks and technologies across the mainframe, and I think sometimes we limit our thought to, you know, the fact that it's still running, you know, big batch scripts and things like that.
Can you play World of Warcraft on a mainframe?
That I don't know. If you can run World of Warcraft on a mainframe, please don't email me because I don't care. Anything else?
No, so continuing on for the day, after lunch I had my panel discussion on governance.
Yeah, so there's some interesting things, and in fact you guys got a write-up in IT Wire about...
IT News,
IT News, yes, about that panel. I think a few home truths for some people, I think, was if we looked at the tweet stream that came out of the back of that... out of that panel.
So I guess it was hard for me really to objectively look at that session because I'd organised it, I'd done a lot of logistics behind the scene on it, and I was there constantly, I was listening to people but also going, go speak faster, no, you're going over your time, no, stop talking, because I really wanted to get the ability for the audience to ask a lot more questions, and I'm sort of saddened by the fact we didn't get through as many questions.
Panels are hard, which is actually when we talk about our on the couch session we had earlier on, was that we purposely didn't call it a panel and we purposely didn't take questions, because how the heck do you take, I mean, I was worried about 500-600 people, but how the heck do you take a good sample of questions from 850 people? It is just literally impossible.
Yeah.
And we saw in the second day where, you know, we had time up our sleeve, you got a keynote speaker and it's like, who's got any questions? And the 850 people were sitting there going, I'm not going to be the guy that puts my hand up. It's a human nature thing. So I think panels are really, really hard, and I wonder... unless you've got a really fiery topic and people really disagreeing with you, that I what I really liked was your content was really good. I would wonder if I was to do that again, whether I'd actually do it as a traditional panel per se, you know, make it a little bit more structured.
I mean, there was a lot that I wanted to get out that we didn't really have the opportunity, but I was incredibly thankful that both Martin Kearns and David Joyce covered off those elements very well in their talks.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the things that came out of there was a lot of talk about governance, and what I liked was that there was differing views and opinions. Because I haven't seen anyone who's really got this nutted yet.
No. There's still quite a journey to go, and I think the journey to go is because we are continuing to evolve Agile. So it's a moving state of what Agile is, and so it's really hard to nail down what is governance in something that keeps continuing to move.
Yeah, so I guess highlighting that middle section for me was two girls, Sandra and Sarah from Bankwest. Bankwest is a bank from Western Australia. It's owned by the Commonwealth Bank, I think, fully owned, but they run as essentially a separate entity. And they were just giving a history of their journey, but the girls started with this great video. It was a 3-minute video of their journey, and some poor schmuck had taken, I would suggest, in excess of 1,000 photos, and they'd put it together as almost like a video. It was a rolling video that was sort of like a time-lapse feel, but it wasn't a time-lapse. It was awesome, to the point that I was actually talking to someone on the second day who was from Bankwest, and I went, man, I love the video I saw on the other one. Yeah, I don't know who the poor schmuck was to put that thing together. And he went, that was me. And I went, and I shook his hand. I went, dude, I said, the video was awesome, but congratulations for having put through that. That must have taken you forever. And he kind of nodded his head.
So was it a time lapse of...
They had story walls. They had different views of like a project kind of building up. They had, you know, like pictures from all over the organisation, different time shots of stand-ups. And they'd gone to a lot of effort to get this particular data.
Wow.
And the way they packaged it, and it had like a nice boppy music track behind it. And
but this will be available in the slides,
I'm hoping that video will be available. I think it's someone actually put it on the tweet first. It was a really good if you want to kind of sell people on Agile, like giving them something, it was a 3-minute snapshot to say, look, now here's kind of how you do
this
it.
Is that a play? Okay, cool.
The other thing that really came out of that was what I really liked about their talk was that it was kind of no holds barred. They came forward and they said, you know what, we screwed this up, and we actually screwed it up about 4 times before we got it right. You know, so, and she reminded me back of our days back, you know, when we last worked, you know, together, where she said, when we first started, and this was in 2009, we were obviously a lot earlier than this, she said, in 2009, my boss said to me, you learn about this Agile thing. So I sat in my cubicle for four months and wrote a big fat document.
Yes, I know.
And it failed.
I know.
And then she said, then we went and decided to send some people on training, and they come back and hopefully it would, you know, it would just work, and that failed. And now they're evolving through the process.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I must admit, I look back at some of the stuff in the early days when we were doing Agile, and I think, oh, God, I can't believe I said that, or I can't believe I wrote that.
Yeah, it's a little bit. What I guess I like is that, you know, it's not all, you know, sunshine and lollipops. And what I really liked was that they were open and honest about where their, you know, where their journey had been.
So that's really good, because we need to really say in the community that it doesn't always work successfully, and it is one of those things that you do sort of have to tackle in a number of different directions until you get it right.
Absolutely. Anything else from the first day, Renee?
So I attended Ilan Goldstein's presentation on Agile attitudes and abilities.
So I really, really wanted to get to this one. This was one I think I said to you that I was really keen.
You told me go see this one, which was disappointing because I want to see David Joyce, but thankfully I still saw his presentation in LSSC. It was great. I had a iteration manager sitting next to me that I'm actually working with. So we got to talk throughout the presentations and talk about how it resonated with him or not. And it was very much in line with a lot of what we're training as an iteration manager role. And it was focused on around leadership and how we can make a difference as a Scrum Master.
And look out on the channel, we have an upcoming discussion with Elan. Unfortunately, that was where our $2 part broke down, but we have, I think, the first 30 minutes of that, so we'll
30 minutes is better than nothing.
Yeah, we'll hack that together, and I think we'll probably actually try and get Elan back on at some later point to have a bit more chat to him at a later date to cover off the topics that didn't make it onto the podcast. Day one evening. So I took the boring route. Not the boring route. I stuck around and stayed back. One of the things that they ran this year.
Oh, I've forgotten you weren't there.
Yeah, I stayed around and they had an event before we get into Renee's drinking. They had a thing called Activate Agile, which was for students, which I think was a really good little initiative they brought through. It still was very much a presentation format. I would have liked to have seen some more hands-on games being played, but you know, I think for what they threw together it was good, and they had about 100 students turn up and they were asking some really intelligent questions, and I think what they were really trying to get through was essentially to say to people, look, if you're about to go into the big wide world, look out for this Agile thing, and it's probably a place where you want to work, because you know it's the kind of people we're looking for, people that think differently, and yeah, you know, unless you want to be kind of stuck in an old type place. And a lot of companies gave, and I didn't sit through all the talks. I was sort of in the hallway talking to some other people. But one of the ones that stood out to me is I did sit in on the back of health.com.au for their short talk. And really resonated with me that these guys had really, you know, lean startup idea had really, you know, kicked the whole thing into motion, was that they actually had their main backer, or, you know, the guy that had the idea, was really against this whole thing. He was like, oh, I want a big plan, I want a big document. And so I said to go, so he gave the guys kind of, you know, I'll let you go away for 8 weeks and sort this out. So essentially they locked themselves in a room for, I think it was 4 or 6 weeks, but did it all Agile, right? Mapped it all out on the walls, you know, came up with a plan. Realised some of the risks that they had, because these guys were trying to open up a health insurance business. In Australia, there has been no health insurer get a health insurance licence since 1977. That's the last time someone's did it. And everyone just said to them, you can't do that, or no one's going to. And they had to fight through all those barriers. So it was interesting, because they had this. We do a lot of projects with people and they go, oh, we have to do all these things up front. They were in this place. Like they had to get their clearance to be a health insurance provider. They had to get hospitals on board. They had to get things, but they still managed those in an Agile way. And it was a really interesting story about how these guys had done it. And, you know, really frank and honest, and you know, lots of pictures and things about how they did it. And really good little story that I'd like to kind of talk to those guys some more about and learn about their journey. So that was what I did for my Wednesday evening.
So I think myself and a couple of 100 people rocked up to ThoughtWorks.
So like the conference venue overflowing at 850 people, the ThoughtWorks office
was pretty much the same. It was a bit squishy as well. Managed to talk to some people at Swinburne, managed to talk to a number of people coaching at Telstra. So it was really great to have the opportunity, again, to speak to people one-on-one and to have that time to collaborate and find out what people are doing, what's working and what's not working.
And knock back a few sarsaparillas at the same time.
There was drinks there. I didn't actually drink there, I don't think. So we were there for a little while. I think it was about an hour and a half until the pink lights managed to give everyone headaches. Then we left, we got hungry, went to Chinatown, smashed down some food, and then went to some really weird pub down the laneway.
You went to Croft with the...
Yes, Croft Institute.
Croft Institute. Melbourne is well known for its hidden away little bars and alleys.
So we go down these alleyways and hopefully don't get mugged and get into this it almost looks like a psychiatric ward or I have no idea what it was. And
so anyone that's been to Croft before is snorting there going, yeah, been there. Anyone who hasn't been there is going, what the heck are you talking about?
Anyway, we had some very expensive drinks, and I was in the first group to go home at midnight.
Very good, very good. And, yes, I think I was well and truly tucked up in bedding wise by midnight. So day two, the original program had Mark Bob Thompson on the agenda, but he was missing in action. So
bom, bom.
So Roy Singham was good enough to, the professional that he is, jump straight on stage. So Roy Singham is the head honcho at ThoughtWorks.
See the top dog, is he?
Can't get any higher than Roy.
Really? Okay.
So did you see that talk?
I did see his talk, and I found it very, again, inspiring. I loved the way that he was trying to look at us as a software development community differently and instilling giving back to the wider world. So a lot of his talk was about the situation over in third world nations and how we can use our skills to benefit them further, and talking about the constraints that they have over in those areas, not just in Africa but also in India and so forth, and how in those constraints we're using innovation in a very different way to solve the problems, and how we can take the learnings of those countries and what we've done there and apply it to first world countries.
Cool, and I guess I unfortunately didn't get to see much of that keynote, but one of the things is that as an Australian software community, and for any of our Australian listeners, that ThoughtWorks are trying to encourage people to kind of give back to the community. It's not something they're necessarily running, they're just taking the lead on it. And they've got these hack nights. They've organised them for Sydney and Melbourne, and I know one is actually Brisbane as well. Is trying to get one together with the local Agile and Lean group that I run with Adrian Smith. We're trying to get one sort of working there as well. So there's stuff happening in the community, but I think the key message out of there is that you don't have to kind of wait for
someone to tap you on the shoulder.
Right? Go and do it. And I think what Keith Dodds from ThoughtWorks was saying as part of that, because Roy called on him, was to say that what they're actually seeing is a lot of larger companies, particularly Australia, is the difference. A lot of larger companies are coming to the party to...
willing to give back.
To give back, which is really good to see.
So I'm surprised. The reason why I asked about whether he's the head honcho or not, because he was talking about, well, this is, where I want to take ThoughtWorks, and he was sort of alluding to the fact that he's having problems in doing that strategic shift, and I was sort of wondering, well, maybe he wasn't the head honcho, which is why he's having the problems, but, if this is something that he wants to drive, surely it's just something that you do, isn't it?
I think it's just like ThoughtWorks is now a much bigger ship than it was when they made it. I didn't really hear it, but
okay.
I think that if you think about our agile adoption and things like that, I mean, even companies we work in where someone high up the chain has the vision, but it's still very, very hard. Right? It's the mindset of all your people underneath, and there's lots of middle managers and those things in the middle. So Mark Thompson was still on no show, so I kind of got pushed on the stage to say a few words, and I think that worked out quite rather well. We were agile, we adapted, and I think it was good that there was a bit of a break. But luckily, the people at the Essendon Football Club through their next most senior person, they dragged James Hurd, who's well known for the Essendon Football Club, threw him in a taxi, still in his tracksuit, gave him a piece of index card that said leadership on it, shoved him on stage, and I didn't get to see the talk because it was sort of packed house because they'd already kind of broken.
different war rooms and things. Yeah.
But gave a really inspiring talk from what I heard about leadership.
Yeah, again, I didn't get to hear it either because I was at a slightly different area of the building and I never even heard that someone else came. So I was a little bit disappointed that that message didn't get out.
It was very much a word of mouth, but they shoved about 450-odd people into this. So, and to be honest with you, those who didn't hear about it had no chance. I was standing right at the back of the room when he came on, and I ended up actually leaving to let some more people in. So,
but what I did hear, it was very good.
Hmm, indeed. Any other highlights from...
From the second day? To be honest, I spent a lot of the second day talking to people. There were... I did have a look at Martin Kearns' presentation, and that was quite good. He's quite a portfolio and program management.
So you have to make that funny because it's not very awe inspiring in its own right, right?
No. So it was really looking at how lean starts in particular fit into the future of governance and making sure that we're changing governance to incorporate that, looking at incremental funding and so forth.
Yeah, I was emceeing for the entire afternoon, and so we were doing some things in the morning break. But there was a row of three talks in the afternoon in the one room that were actually all really good. Matthew Hodgson from Zenex Machina, which I'm sure I got that pronunciation right.
Where is it?
The Trouble with Time Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Essentially, he was talking about how at their company there's this accepted way about how UX is done, where you always do it an iteration before, and he was really starting to challenge that notion and about how, you know, what the problems are with that, and gets top marks for getting Doctor Who references into a talk and reminding everybody that bow ties are cool. Kristen Vingris, who I've sort of known for a number of years and really resonates with my quality, he gave the obligatory software testing talk about how testing is changing. Very similar to the talk I gave at the same conference last year, but it was good that someone else was talking about the same message and put them through. It was interesting to see. There was someone who was on a team that both you and I, that you work for and I already know, and someone who I know has been and heard me talk about such stuff, and I was watching Kristen sort of got up and said something along the lines of, well, you know, in testing, you know, automation is important, and you have to, you know, when things fail, you have to, you know, you have to make sure you stop and start it. And I watched this guy pick up his moped and started writing notes, and I'm like, oh man, are we still back at basics? You know, so, but I think it's good sometimes, you know, you can say things 1,000 times, you get someone else up on stage to say the same thing.
Yeah.
And that was probably the resonator that almost was like, I've heard that before. Obviously, someone else has said, I'm going to write it down. So,
yeah.
I was sort of watching him pick up the paper, and I thought, well, actually, maybe that's not such a bad thing. One of the real highlights for me, though, was Julian Boot from Magitech. Again, someone who I've worked with before, but he had a really, really great talk about what he called the design eye for a dev guy. It was just a really great primer on design, and I think, as I mentioned when I was emceeing at the end, I when I was thanking him, I said, you know, in 45 minutes he really reiterated to me how much my design sucks, because it really just nothing brand new if you've done any design before, but had just thrown all the principles together into a slide deck that simplified it and just and just repeated a bunch of things I already knew and made me think and go away. So I need to do some more work in that area. So that was really good.
So at the same time as Kristen, there was also a presentation on the theory of constraints by James Ross, and everyone that went to that raved about it.
I heard some good reports from that. I said, unfortunately, I was down the other end, but this was one of the talks I was glad to see on there, because this was one of the more advanced topics. It was outside the realm of the usual stuff.
Oops.
So, yeah, that was probably one of the highlights for a lot of people was the theory of constraints. We're kind of already across it, but I think what was the interesting thing out of that talk was that he took that topic and his presentation style, I think, was what gelled with that. So not only did he get some content that people weren't aware of, did it in a very entertaining fashion. So James Ross from Aiken X. Any other thoughts?
About it.
Yeah, so it was pretty good. Had obviously the closing drinks, which a lot of people obviously had to steal away from. But
So we left in the hopes of actually getting a plane, and those hopes were dashed by the times that we got to the airport and found that Virgin made our plane an hour and a half late.
Awesome. So, but it's good just to catch up with people and obviously the hallways and things like that. So, all in all, good conference. One of the things that I know that will happen out of the end of it is that there was a live retrospective wall, so there was an open space area at the conference. Way too packed to make the proper use out of the area.
Yeah, it needed to be way bigger.
And there was no way in the space that we had that it could have been, but it was good. And it was good to see the people were at least sitting at the tables and having conversations and writing on the wall. all there was
a... What was quite interesting was also over the time of the conference is it was very few people in that first morning, because I was really watching that area quite tightly to see how many people were hanging around, and Jason Yip, I think, personally set up a stand there, but didn't quite. But over time, the more and more the conference got on, the bigger and the larger the community got around that area.
I think it's something that's still, for a lot of people, particularly the audience that comes to that conference, is still a bit of a foreign thing to people, is this whole open space thing. So I'm glad we got it into the conference this year. I'm hoping that, you know, we can push to have a bigger space, you know, in years to come. And that, you know, essentially, you know, we got this mindset that you have to go to every talk at a conference is kind of, you know, eradicated, that, you know, it's just as much about the hallways and the impromptu discussions and things that you have along the way. But there was a retrospective wall up there. There was lots of, you know, there was lots of, you know...
Lots of feedback.
Good feedback coming from there. Having to remind the conference organisers that in Agile, right, we are open and you know, that we, you know, we take the spirit of the feedbacks attended. We don't necessarily have to do something with all of it.
Yep.
But, you know, if we see trends, it's something that gives us an indication to look for. And I think what I do appreciate from Slattery IT, who do work with the community to organise this conference, they take on all the, you know, all the bits that us as practitioners... you know, can't deal with. So they deal with all the marketing and things like that, but they are very open to, you know, for looking for ways to improve. So I'm sure when the advisory committee and the organisers get together, you know, a lot of those things will be hashed out, and, you know, next year will be, you know, an improvement again.
Mm.
Very good. Well, I think we're done to death on what we learnt out of that.
Excellent.
So you're off for a jaunt around the other side of the world.
I've only a couple of days left before I go onto a very, very long plane flight of about 18 hours over to Austria, and I'll be attending the Kanban Leadership Retreat there.
Isn't Austria just Australia with it missing a couple of letters?
No, it's not. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully I'll take the podcast mic with me, and hopefully it will work.
Awesome. And if you don't come back with some podcast of you running across a mountain, seeing the hills are alive.
Yeah, I'll be wondering what the problem is with Maria over in Salzburg.
Awesome. Okay, well, as per usual, Tony wasn't with us at the conference. He's off to BA World, BA Universe, BA Century,
BA
I don't know.
BA World, I think it is.
Something like that. So he's off there. We'll catch up with him on that on our next podcast. In the meantime, though, if you've got any feedback or questions or stuff for us to talk about, you can get us at...
Renee@theagilerevolution.com.
Or Craig@theagilerevolution.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Viva la Revolution.
Viva la Revolution.